That's an emotional argument. That's what that is. That's all it is. Now, it's been argued also by some that the innocent party who has been unscripturally divorced by an unscrupulous mate can remarry later on if the other one commits adultery. This would be divorce after the fact of divorce. Divorce has already taken place. That's already cut and dried. It's settled. Divorce has already occurred. But on down the line, after that divorce is over, and it wasn't for adultery, it wasn't for fornication, and here one of them commits adultery or marries somebody else, and the argument is that then frees the other one to put that person away when the putting away is all over. It's already been done. That constitutes a second putting away. And this time it has to be done mentally, in purpose of heart. Even though a divorce may not be just, and there are some divorces that are not just, it's still a divorce. That's what it is. Same thing's true about marriage. There are some marriages that aren't right. It said that Herod had married his brother's wife. It was wrong. John said it was wrong. John said it's not lawful for you to have her. But the Bible still called it a marriage. It was unscriptural marriage, but it was still a marriage. Same thing is true about a divorce. There may be such a thing as an unjust divorce, but it's still a divorce. The position demands two putting aways. One that's legal and the other that's in purpose of heart. I wrote an article early part of last year, in Truth Magazine, on the subject of my sermon tonight, emotional arguments. And I made the same basic points in that article that I'm making in this sermon tonight. As a result of that, my longtime friend, with whom I share a grandson, wrote an article in response to that, took issue with what I said about it. And he said he agreed that truth is not settled by emotional arguments. He agreed with that. But then he turned around and made one. He asked the question, what are you going to do about a situation of a soldier that's off in the war, and he comes home from the war to find that his wife has divorced him and married another man? That can happen. But whatever emotion that generates within us doesn't change one word that God said, does it? Does it? That doesn't change what the Lord said. What's the difference about that and describing the situation of the coal miner that's trapped in a cave-in and he can't be baptized? What's the point of that argument except to arouse emotion? It's an emotional argument. It's not a scriptural argument. And we need to recognize, it doesn't matter whether it's friends or foes, teach that, not so. It's just not so. You know, if we could have a mental putting away after the fact of a divorce, which then ends the marriage with that purpose of heart after the fact, why can't we have a mental agreement on the front end of it when people get married without complying with the law? Why can't two people just move in and start living together? Because they purposed in their heart to be married. What'd be wrong with common law marriage if that's the case? What'd be wrong with two young people that say they love each other very much and they're going to get married anyway, and so they just decide to go ahead and consummate their union, and so they cohabit, have sexual relations here, because they have purposed in their hearts marriage. If that's all it takes, if you can, in purpose of heart, end it at one end of the scene, why can't you, in purpose of heart, start it on the other end of it? Why wouldn't that work? No, the argument's flawed. The argument is faulty. in every culture, and it's not the same in every culture, but in every culture, there is a point at which marriage is considered to have begun. Old Testament times, Isaac took Rebekah to his tent. They had gone through a certain celebration prior to that, but that was the beginning point. In the slave days of our country, to our shame, they jumped a broom sometimes. But in that culture, that signified the beginning of a marriage bond, a marriage union. It sealed it in the culture of the time. In the time in which we live now, we have courts and laws and marriage license and blood tests. And there is a point at which, when a marriage license is validly signed and filed, legally marriage has begun. And we all recognize that to be so. And Paul taught in Romans 13 that we ought to be obedient to the civil law. It's certainly true that two people have to purpose in their hearts that they're going to be married. They have to talk about it. Anytime two people get married, they go talk about their future and their plans. And that boy's going to propose, and she's going to say, "I do." And so they enter a period called the engagement. They're not married yet. They promised to be, but they haven't married yet. I'll tell you, you don't end marriage just out in purpose of heart. You don't start it just that way. There are some other things that have to be considered about it. And emotional arguments don't change what God said on this subject. Now, it's the one, the Bible says, who puts away, listen to me carefully, according to what the Bible said, the passages we read here, it is the one who puts away a companion for the cause of fornication that has a right to marry again. So it matters who does the putting away, doesn't it? Two things matter. It matters who puts away, and it matters why the putting away is done. Both of them matter, and they need to be respected. The Lord plainly said, "Whosoever marries her that is put away commits adultery." Now, I didn't write that, and you didn't either, but the Lord did. And all the emotional arguments in the world will not set that aside. This argument that's made by some about race, folks racing to the courthouse, see who can beat the other to the courthouse. That's another emotional argument. That's all it is. We need to stick with what the Bible says and stop all the what ifs and the yes buts. And leave off emotional arguments and just be content to take the Word of God at face value. Accept that. Teach it to our children. Teach it to our brethren. And live by that. And if we'll do that, we'll be all right. The folly of emotional arguments is seen in several instances in the Bible. I mentioned the other night about Joseph's brothers deceiving their father. He was just deceived, that was all. His emotions were stirred, but he was wrongly informed. Naaman came to the prophet Elisha and was disappointed because Elisha didn't come out and make a great to-do and have an elaborate ritual of some kind. He said, "Behold, I thought he'd come out and do such and such." That didn't change anything. Let's just preach what's written, and we won't have any trouble.